Blog Talk Radio.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. Sometimes the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister Leandria here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me, hurt me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. First, give honor to God, who's the head of our life. Welcome, welcome, welcome to World Gospel Connection. It is Women's Day Thursday. First, definitely give honor to God again, because he's the reason why we all stand here this morning. The scripture for this morning is 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand, God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Again, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Remember, that was 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Definitely want to give a shout-out to all the countries that's listening in this morning. They're listening on a daily basis. Of course, the United States, Canada, Mexico, United Kingdom, Brazil, Ghana, Nigeria, South Africa, Kenya, Jamaica, Germany, Saudi Arabia, China, Hong Kong, Bulgaria, Russia, and Zimbabwe. Thank you guys for tuning in Monday through Friday, supporting us. Know that we are praying for you guys. We know that you can't pray and worship God openly, but we are standing in agreement and praying and asking God to cover you in spite of what's going on. Know that you're not in this fight by yourself, that Apostle and myself are praying and asking God to make a way like he always can. Father God, I ask you to come on this morning. Bless who needs to be blessed, Lord. Open doors that need to be open for people that are listening in and that need your assistance. Let them know that you never leave them nor forsake them, Lord, that you're right there with them. All you want is that one-on-one time. I ask you to cover and guide them, protect them, show them that they are loved. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we're going to hit start the show.
Oh, 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 oh. You see? So, baby mama. You already know, though. Check it out. Hey.
They want to ask how long I'll be here. I say forever, let's just be clear. I'm going to be loving you.
All of the time. For the rest of the life.
I'll be loving you.
All of my life.
Everybody that's up in here, so your blessings so it's clear. I'ma be loving you.
I'ma
be loving you.
I
just wanna show you that it's certain.
Okay.
When my hands up, we call it worse.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it's real. Yeah, I know it's real.
Oh dear.
And I ain't got a question how I feel.
Yeah.
Give me purpose. No, I never ever nervous. Everything you say, believe him. No, I never ever leave him. I ain't stepping down off his word. I'ma keep this thing clear, that's for sure.
Well,
they wanna ask how long I'll be here. I say forever, let's just be clear. I'ma be loving you.
I'ma
be loving you.
I'ma be loving you.
Now everybody that's up in here, throw your breath up so it's clear.
Never change my mind.
Never stop the love of God.
They
wanna ask how long I'll be here.
I'm going straight into the scripture. Y'all pray for me. We're doing a lot of traveling in this season, but God is absolutely amazing, and I love what he's doing in our lives. And so we're headed back to the West Coast to do a show tonight, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. But I had to come to Women Who Win and spend some time with my family and release the word that God has given us today. Are y'all excited about the word? I love y'all. So we're going to John, the 21st chapter, the 5th through the 6th verse. John 21, 5 through 6, and I'm going to read it out of the NIV today, if that's all right. Let's all stand together. All right, we'll do it. We're going to do what we do together. We win together. We stand together. Y'all loosen up. Y'all good? Y'all know I'm like Pentecostal holiness, so I might jump off the stage. You know, I have to get this. I might scream a little bit. I need y'all to scream back at me. It's all right. You know, it's all right to get a little wild sometimes, all right? The 5th verse says, he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. God bless your word. You can have your seats. And I honor our apostle today, Apostle Hilliard. I love you, Dad. You rocking the glasses. I love your glasses, all right? So the year was 2002, possibly 2003. I had been driving my gold Ford Escort since my senior year of high school. It was my first car. I loved it so much. I remember riding around my hometown of Jessup, Georgia, with a car full of people. I got Jessup folk in here. Hey, girl. I'm still trying to figure out how in the world we got so many girls in that car. Anyway, that car was good to me. As long as I kept the oil changed, everything was just fine. I'm going to take a sidebar right there because I heard Holy Spirit say to me as I was writing this that some of us simply need to make sure we keep our oil checked. When was the last time you had an oil change? When was the last time you did a soul search of anything in your life that has come to contaminate your oil? Look at your neighbor and ask them, is it time to have your oil checked? Is it time to have your... It's time to clear out anything and anyone who has come in to try and taint your anointing. I feel this in this room. Some of us gonna leave this conference and we gotta go cut some people off because they've been contaminating our oil. They've been contaminating our oil. I feel Jesus. Now back to my story. I was riding good, living my best life in my Escort. But one day I happened to ride by a car lot that had the prettiest, shiniest Isuzu Trooper sitting right by the highway, and it caught my attention. Anybody ever been doing just fine, going about your business, everything running smooth, then suddenly something catches your attention and hijacks your focus? Something that looks prettier than what you have, looks more shiny, looks bigger, badder, and better than what you have. And as soon as you engage it, as soon as you give it your attention, your time, and your energy, you find out real quick that you have made a huge mistake. You start thinking thoughts like, man, I could have done bad by myself, or I was doing better without this issue. They used to say it like this, the grass just looks greener on the other side. Anyway, I saw this Trooper, and I just had to have it. It grabbed a hold of my soul, and it wouldn't let me go. I dreamt about it. I daydreamed about it. I had to have it. I went home. I told my mom and daddy that I saw this car that I really wanted and that I wanted to trade in my faithful, committed Ford Escort for this used, water-damaged, poor-engine, shiny Isuzu Trooper. Of course, like most mothers in here, my mother immediately said no, because the part of the story that I neglected to tell you is that the car that I wanted to trade in on this shiny piece of junk was in my parents' name. Though mama was giving me an absolute no, my father did something really strange. He said, if she wants the car, I'm going to let her get the car. Mind you, I had never made a move without an approval from my father. I had never bought a thing without an okay from him. I had never made any life-altering decisions without a word from my father. But this time was different. He basically said, I'm going to sit this one out and let her try this one on her own. She wants to do this one without a word from me, so I'm going to let her go ahead and do it. How many times have we launched out in our own and done something without hearing a word from the Father concerning the situation? That's a dangerous place to be in. It's one thing to make a decision to just go ahead and do something outside of his will, but it's another thing to have never asked his will in the first place. I felt like I was grown. I felt like I was grown enough to make this decision on my own, and that's just what my father allowed me to do. Can I tell you that before I could drive the car off the lot, it was breaking down on me? About 2 weeks after buying the car, I was over it. I refused to drive it. Anybody in here who knows me, I can be a little stubborn sometimes. I looked at that car and said, I give up. You're not going to defeat me. I'll never drive you again. So the car just sat in the yard until my brother stole it and decided to drive it himself. It was just that terrible. Here's the part that I like about this story, and I pray that it blesses you. After letting me make this bad decision, after letting me trade in his perfect Escort, after having to allow me to drive his cars for weeks, finally, my father stepped in and said, in order to fix this, you're going to have to do X, Y, Z. And don't worry, I'm going to coach you through every step. After I handled my business with this lemon car and waited for things to clear up, my father then walked me through the process of purchasing a car that was right for me, and he didn't leave me until his promise was fulfilled. I came to talk to two groups of people today. One group of us made a few decisions that spiraled our lives out of control, got us off focus, and set us off course. And the other group of us, we've just been in a posture of waiting. Waiting to see when the reward from our sacrifice is going to show up. Waiting to see when the prophecies and the promises are going to come to pass. Or we're waiting on our nets to be filled. I came here with one purpose, and that was to tell you that the wait is over. No, I need y'all to get more excited than that. I need somebody to scream it in this room. The wait is over. The wait is over. I need you to say it until your situation starts to respond. Look at your sister and tell her the wait is over. The wait is over. There are some promises that were spoken over your family that you haven't seen yet. Well, I came to declare to you that the wait is over. There are some promises that were spoken over your businesses that you haven't seen yet. And I came to declare to you that the wait is over. There are some promises that were spoken over your children that you haven't seen yet, and I came to tell you that the wait is over. Do we have anybody in this room who can believe a prophetic word from the Lord? I'm sorry, y'all, this is all I have. It's all I got. I'm a prophetic preacher, and I came to release you into your next place. Somebody scream, the wait is over. It's over. It's over. And I heard Holy Spirit tell me to tell you that Jesus is going to stay right there with you until you get it. Yeah. Some of us have been saying before we came to this conference that it's been months since I felt the tangible, undeniable presence of God. Well, I came to tell you that he's here and you're about to experience his presence like never before. The wait is over. The wait is over. Let's get to this passage. I love this story. This story takes place after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The disciple Simon Peter, who was a fisherman by trade. Somebody say that he was a fisherman by trade. Remember that he denied Jesus during the time of the crucifixion. Now that Jesus was back, Peter wasn't completely sure if he still held a special place in Jesus' heart. I must take a moment right here and let somebody know that there is no place you can go, nothing you can do, no crime you can commit that would cause Jesus to turn his back on you or deny you his love. He loves you. He died for you. He was resurrected for you. And if that was all you needed to hear in order for you to give him your whole life, we will stop this entire service right now just for you. Somebody give God a praise and lift up a praise in this room. If you were living in a world of sin and the blood of Jesus saved your life anyway. That's a tired praise. I need somebody who's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He reached down in the muck and the miry clay and got you up out of that sick, sin, sick situation and saved your life in spite of your life. Somebody give God a praise in this room. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. So because Peter wasn't sure if he still carried any weight as a disciple, he decided that he would go back to his old job and take a stab at it. When Peter told a few of the other disciples that he was going out to fish, they told him that they would go with him. I feel another sidebar. Make sure you got some friends who won't leave you alone in your low place. This is a women's conference. Make sure you're surrounded by people who will be by your side when you're being challenged with the cares of life. It doesn't say it in this text, but I just believe that these other disciples weren't so concerned about catching fish as they were concerned about Peter's well-being. The Bible says that they stayed in the boat all night long, but caught not one fish. Let me tell you about me. Right about the third or fourth hour, if I wasn't concerned about catching fish, I would have been saying, all right, this ain't working. I'd have been like, all right, maybe we could try this tomorrow. But it seems that these disciples weren't as concerned with catching fish as they were concerned about their brother. Make sure you're surrounded by someone who's your ride or die, brothers and sisters, who won't leave you alone when you're at your lowest point. Make sure you have some friends in your corner who will wait while you're waiting. Oh, my God. Anybody ever had people who were good with you when everything was going well and things were flourishing, but the ones you trust, the ones you can trust are the ones who have stuck with you while you wait? If you got some ride or die sisters with you, I just need you to give them a high five and tell them, I'm going to sit with you while you wait. I'm going to stick it out while you wait. I'm not going to be one of those going with the winds, going with every wind of doctrine that comes. If you going through something, then, baby, we going through something. I was about to say something else. If you going to fight, then I'm going to fight. That's the kind of people I need in my life. Listen, I'm getting too old for those the shaky ones. I need somebody that's gonna be there. Listen, that one right there with that pink sweatshirt on, she gonna ride with me. That's one of my ride or dies. The fifth verse says, he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. We live in a world of social media. Sometimes it can be good, but when it's bad, it's bad. Can I be honest? Sometimes I get sick of it. Here's the truth. Nobody is ever going to post their failures. So here we are comparing our lives to the life people show us on social media. But it's lies and deceit. The truth is that everybody has failed at something. Everybody has made a bad decision here and there. Everyone has had to repent for something. But because of this false world of social media, it has made it so difficult to live a life and be honest about your flaws, weaknesses, and failures. We have somehow succumbed to the pressures of living in a false reality. In this verse, Jesus asked them a question he already knew the answer to. He made them sit in their reality that they were failing at something they were trained to do. They were failing at something they had once thrived in. There are people in this room, if you just be honest, are in the same place these disciples were in. You are sinking in a place where you once thrived. You have skill, you have the knowledge and the talent, but for some reason you just haven't been able to catch a break. I came to tell you that Jesus is about to get involved. Oh, somebody say that Jesus is about to get involved. He's about to get involved in it, and he's about to make you face the reality that this will never work without his presence. He's about to make you be brutally honest with yourself. Some of us have started the business and can't get it off the ground. Some of us have started writing the book, but for years have had writer's block. Some of us have gone to school, secured the degree, but can't get the job. Jesus is saying, you can trust me with your failures. You can trust me with the embarrassment. You can trust me with the anxiety. I hear him saying, I won't scorn you. I won't hurt you. Just let me get involved. Woo. You've been waiting out here all night, and it ain't working. You've been waiting out here for years, and it's not working, but let me get involved. Somebody lift your hands and say, Jesus, I invite you into my situation. Come in. Have your way. Help me. Help me. Help me, help me. I feel that right now. I cast down that spirit that refuses to ask for help. Some of us need to go back and ask some of our family and friends, you know what, I've been real stubborn, but I just need you to help me do this. Ooh. All right. The sixth verse says, he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So my husband is very organized. He likes to keep everything in its place so that he's sure not to lose anything. We are always in and out of hotels in our travels, and because I'm the slowest of the two of us, there are times he just has to help me pack, all right? Most times he is the one who makes sure all electronics, iPads, computers, phones, cords, all that kind of stuff is packed up. And he has this fancy way of wrapping up cords that always drives me crazy because I can never figure out how to unravel them. So most times I get frustrated and I'm like, babe, I can't get this cord unraveled. Why do you keep doing this? His answer is real simple, that in wrapping the cord like this, it's less chance for the cord to get damaged and it's actually easier for you to access. How? He then pulls the cord out and simply pulls on one end of the cord. And voila. Voila. But me, it has taken me 2 years. I'm always like, what is going on? Do y'all see that? It looks like a knot. But actually, he's just put this one little piece there and you unravel it. There was an important lesson in this for me. I would literally be frustrated because the more I tried to unravel the cord, the more it would tangle up. I was always thinking, how could he possibly think this is the best way? Had I just gone to him to get some instructions, life would have been so much easier for me. I came to tell you that Jesus is about to give you the formula. Oh, somebody speak that into your world. Jesus is about to give me the formula. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. I'm talking to some people this morning. You tried to figure it out. You've tried 12 steps and Google. You've tried everyone's suggestions. We have been trying it our way and wasting our time throwing our nets on the wrong side of the boat. But God is about to tell you how to throw your net on the right side. Scream, Jesus is about to give me the formula. Now, this was a hard pill to swallow because I know we want to hear that Jesus is about to come down off of his throne and do it for us. But I love that Jesus stood on the shore and gave them instructions on how to do it themselves. Come on, we're not babies anymore. Yes, he's going to be right there with you, but he's not going to do it for you. Woo! I'm not the best cook in the world, but my husband eats it. I found that if I follow the recipe step by step, my cooking tastes just as good as the person who wrote the book. I came to tell you that within the next few weeks, God is about to start speaking to you and giving you divine instruction, and all you have to do is follow the recipe. Give somebody a high five and tell them just follow the recipe. He's about to give you the formula. All you got to do is follow the recipe. No more whining, no more complaining, no more falling out, no more getting frustrated, no more getting the attitude. Get on your knees, get in the face of Jesus, and while you're at his feet, he's about to give you the recipe that's going to help you fulfill your dreams and your purpose. Somebody lift up your voice and give God a shout in this room. You believe that God's about to give you the divine formula. Some of y'all need to pull those journals out while you're in your prayer time and begin to write down what God is instructing you to do. Because I declare that as you write, you're going to see these things come to pass in your life. Does anybody believe the word of the Lord today? When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. It is mind-blowing the amount of people who reach out to me saying, what's the formula for what you do? How did you do it? How did you accomplish that? And my answer remains the same. I just want to please the heart of God. I need to stay at his feet to receive instruction for my life. It is the enemy's job to keep us off focus and distracted. He understands that if we ever posture ourselves at Jesus' feet, we will receive wisdom on how to move forward in our purpose. In this passage, we aren't dealing with some amateurs. These men were professionals and very skilled fishermen. Can I tell you that no matter how much education, knowledge, or experience you may have, your understanding is nothing without divine instruction from the Holy Spirit. It is indeed possible to achieve success with just education, knowledge, and experience, but there is another level of favor that is placed on your life when you allow God to give you the formula for greatness. As I was preparing this message in the spirit realm, I felt many of our hearts in this room. People have considered you the underdog. People have counted you out because of what you don't have and what you lack. But I came to speak a word from God today, letting you know that Jesus just skipped you to the front of the line and your wait is over. Y'all ever been to one of those theme parks like Disney World? That's terrible. Like, the lines are like 3 hours long. But they have this thing called a fast pass. God just downloaded a fast pass in the spirit. Oh, y'all ain't praising him right. God just downloaded a fast pass in the spirit. And I declare that some of us who felt like our time was up, God is saying, no, you're just about to get started. I'm moving you to the front of the line. I'm putting you in front of people right now who have been waiting, who've been talking about you, looking back at you, saying they ain't going to never do it. They ain't going to never make it. There's no way they're going to get up here. But God is saying, I'm going to jump you to the front of the line. Somebody scream, fast pass, fast. You got a fast pass. Yes, Lord. The latter part of this verse says that they caught so many fish that they were unable to haul the fish in. I'm about to shout, y'all. Can I tell you that the plans you had to carry this harvest aren't big enough? Go back to your plan. Go back to your plan. Rip it up and write out another one, because what's about to come is bigger than what you expected. I'm going to say it over here. I said, what's about to come is bigger than what you expected. And the net that you have will break if you don't go out and get you a bigger one. Somebody say, I'm expecting something bigger now. I'm expecting something greater now. I need you to go do a bigger plan, because God is about to give you something greater. Dr. Arisha, I heard God say to me loud and clear, yes, I'm going to do everything through New Light that I promised the apostle, but the thoughts that I think towards you are bigger than that. Can we just take a moment and give God a shout of praise for the fresh wind of God that is about to blow through New Light? Somebody give God a praise for the fresh wind of God that's about to come through New Light. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, I'm causing a fire to start burning in your spirit. And watch you burn. Where is new light in this place? Can I get y'all to raise up a praise? I declare that a fire like never before is about to hit this house. And God is drawing people from the north, the south, the east, and the west to watch this fire burn. There is something peculiar about this house. The Lord says from the moment that I established it from the earth, I have caused there to be something peculiar about this house. And people will watch you from every nation. They will glean from you from every nation. The Lord says what I've called you to establish in the earth, pastors are watching you, not just female pastors. Pastors are watching you. The Lord says I am making you a template. And they will come from near and far. I even hear the Lord say, Pastor, oh my God, can I do this? I heard the Lord say, Pastor Tina, I'm going to cause you to raise up schools of administration. People will come to hear you teach them how to do administration at their churches. And Pastor Prashia, the Lord says, if you do what I tell you to do, they will come. He said they will come. He also says, I need you to finish the prayer journal. There are people who are waiting on this journal to come. I see 365 days of not just prayer, but you will teach them how to write their own. Ew. I'm sorry, y'all. I had to do that for a moment. Can we raise up a praise for the Hilliard family who for many years have been examples? And I got one more. Apostle, the Lord said to me that you will live to see everything that he promised you. He said you will live to see everything he promised you when you established this ministry years ago. The Lord says, I've not forgotten, and you will see it with your eyes. Oh, come on, y'all. Give God a shout of praise in this room. I got to get out. This is the last thing. I'm sorry. I have to read this. I wrote this down this morning. Dr. I, he said, I have given you keys in this city, in government, in entertainment, and in finance. He said that to me this morning. I was on a plane. I was trying to go to sleep, and I couldn't. I'm going to say it again. I've given you keys in this city, in government, in entertainment, and in finance, and you will see it come to pass in Jesus' name. Somebody shout if you believe the word of God. Oh, I just felt a shift in this house. I just felt a shift in this house. My final point is, Jesus is about to show me what crazy faith can do. We're talking about men who were trained to do this, men who were skilled at fishing, men who had done this for years. They knew the tricks of the trade. They knew the rules. So if Jesus was telling them to do something that worked for catching fish, don't you think that they would have tried it by then? Sometimes faith means you have to trust God when he tells you to do something that doesn't make sense. I can imagine that it didn't make sense to toss their nets on the right side. I'm pretty sure that they had exhausted all of their tricks and tried every way that had worked in the past. Let me ask you this. Can you trust God when he asks you to do something that doesn't make sense? I remember 2006. I was in ministry with my father. I was doing awesome. I loved it. I knew the sound of the house. I knew his vision. I knew when he stood up, what he meant. I knew when he shook his head, what he needed. The Lord spoke to me in 2006. He said, you have 4 months to move to Atlanta. Why? I'm doing good here. Traveling up and down the coast, singing at different churches. I'm comfortable. The Lord said, you have 4 months to move to Atlanta. I had nothing in Atlanta. Nothing. Not a job, not a house, and I told y'all about the car. So I'm like, what? Why would I do that? I was in a foggy place because it didn't make sense. My cousin called and she said, William Murphy is doing something in Atlanta. I think you need to be there Sunday. 4 months to the day was a Sunday, but I was going to leave on a Monday because I wanted to go to church and get my checks. I gave my life to this church. Y'all going to pay me. She called. She I wasn't listening to her, so she called and told on me. She called Mama. And Mama called me. Sometimes we can, you know, we can talk them away. I was like, Mom, I ain't doing it. I'm going on Monday now. At least give me some money. I'm going into oblivion here. So anyway, needless to say, I got home. We hadn't spoken to my dad all day. He called me in the room. I said, yes, sir. He said, baby, the Lord said you need to be in Atlanta on Sunday. My God. So I packed up my bags and went to Atlanta on Sunday, but they mailed me my check. 4 months to the day was a Sunday in September, right, Mom? Sunday in September, I walked into this art museum. William Murphy was up there preaching about I don't know what. I was just so confused, like, why am I here? Worship leader got up and she started saying, I want to be where you are. Gotta be where you are. And immediately the Lord said to me, if it makes you uncomfortable, do you want to be where I am? I lifted my hands and I said, God, I want to be where you are. Gotta be where you are. And from that moment until this one, God has continued to escalate my life. He put momentum behind me because I gave him a yes in a foggy place. I couldn't see it, but I knew what I heard. I couldn't understand it, but I knew what I heard. Sometimes you got to trust God when it don't make sense. Who am I talking to in this room? Woo! God, we trust you today. I'm trying to finish it. Jesus told Naaman to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and he was healed of leprosy. That didn't make sense. Jesus spat on the ground, made mud, and put it on a man's eyes, and he was healed of blindness. That don't make sense. Can I tell you that you've been waiting long enough? You've pressed your way through the dark season, and mourning is here. I came to tell somebody that weeping may have endured for a night, but joy is here today. Woo! Joy comes in the morning. Jesus is standing on the shore waiting to coach you into your overflow. I feel something special happening in this moment, and I got to just flow with it. This is how I do, y'all. I'm talking to some women in this room. God gave you some instructions years ago, and I declare that you came to this conference to receive the push that you need in order to launch out and complete the assignment on your life. Who am I talking to today? I need you to lift your hands in the air and say, God, I know I gave up on that thing. I know I swept it under the rug because it wasn't working out like I thought it would work out. But his thoughts are not your thoughts, and his ways are not your ways. I need you to lift up your voices and tell him, I can trust you with this. I trust you with my children. I trust you with my family. I trust you with my businesses. I trust you with my ministry. This is my last testimony I'm going to share, and I'm done. It was probably 3 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe right before we got married, about 3 years ago, I called Mom, and I was going through some challenging issues with my finances because when Break Every Chain released, I was not set up financially to carry what was coming in. Y'all stick with me. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Uncle Sam... he wanted his money. And I knew I was getting married. I didn't want to bring this weight into my family situation. So I was trying to fix this thing, and I kept running up against some hard stuff. Like, God, every time I try to fix it, more comes in. Thank you for the more, but help me deal with with my immaturity years ago. So I walked through that season. I talked with Mom, and sometimes, you just need people to help encourage you. Everybody ain't going to rescue you out of your situation. I wasn't calling my mother. I wasn't calling Pastor D. I wasn't calling Mom Hilliard to say, I need y'all to help me pay off this IRS. No, I need y'all to get on your knees, pray, help me, tell me what I need to do to get out of this situation so I won't be here anymore. So for 2 years, babe, right? He over there like, what is she about to do? I'm sorry. I told him. So for 2 years, we walked through this season where we just had to get it together. Like, we got all of this coming in, but I can't allow what I did in the past to hinder the blessings that God is sending us right now. So I need to figure this thing out. We need to get this thing in order. Well, I came to testify today that for 2 years we've been leasing houses. They were great houses, but they ain't belong to us. Some of us can get so comfortable living in a comfortable space that ain't got your name on it. Balling out of control in somebody else's house. That's what I've been doing for 2 years. But we got that thing together. And so after working through this, my husband, we moved to Greenville. We love this city. We decided, hey, this is where we're going to stay. This is where God wants us. And so we started looking at houses. Houses that we didn't even know. Maybe. So my husband rolled by this house, going to get his hair cut. Hurry up, Tasha. And the house was beautiful. He was like, babe, I need you to see this house. So I was like, okay, let's get in the car. We'll see this house. He wasn't really in love with the house. He just wanted me to see the house. So he know his wife got bougie eyes. Like, I can see bougie from a mile away. Some of y'all that like that. Like, oh. So I saw this sign. And it had nothing to do with the house that he was taking us to. Somebody told us the other day, he the head and I'm the neck. So he was looking at one thing, but I turned our head another way. So the sign was up there, and I was like, ooh, what is that sign talking about? We rode about a mile up the road. There was these beautiful beams. I said, baby, we need to make a right here. Bougie eyes. I saw some bougie beams. I said, my God, these are some nice beams. I said, baby, I need you to make a right there. So we made a right. We started driving into this, I don't even know, it's not called a subdivision. It's called something else. I don't know what it is. It's just everything. It has lakes and trees and all of these amazing houses. And I said, what in the world is this? They try to get away from us. But we found them. So, you know, I got the boldness of God. At this point, I'm like, hey, what can I, all they can say is no. So we parked our car, Bishop, got out, walked right on in the little model home. I said, hey, how are you? My husband said, I'm Kenneth Leonard. This is my wife, Tasha Cobbs Leonard. The lady was so nice, so kind. I didn't know what God was doing. I was just going about my business in the fog. You know, me and Kenny have gotten comfortable walking in the fog. All right. Whatever you want to do, we're right here with you. So we started talking. The lady took us on a tour, and she was showing us all of these other houses. They were great houses, amazing houses. Showed us all of these other houses, but it was this beautiful white, what is it called, babe, the brick? Lime wash brick, big old house. Just, I said, what about that one? Still had people on the roof working hammers and all that. She was like, oh, well, that's going to be one of our model homes and blah, 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 blah. She moved on, showed us another house. I was like, what about that one? She said, well, if you want to go look in that one, we can look in that one, but I have to warn you to be careful because they may be nailed. I said, I don't care. Let's go in that house. We walked around that house, and the enemy let us put our feet on the ground. I started walking around that house. I said, you know what? This is my theater. This is my master bedroom. This symphony room. That's Alana's room. That's Nehemiah's room. This is my husband's office. So I have been dealing with it. I told y'all what I was dealing with. We worked that situation out. God honored the fact that we planned and prepared. And so we went to a lender. I said, look, this is my house. Do what you got to do. My husband said, baby, you want this house? You don't get this house. How long did it take us, baby? It wasn't even a month. 4 weeks. The lender called us back. He said, I got everything you need. Do you want this house? I said, that's my house. The builder called us, said, hey, I want y'all to walk through this house. Everything in the house is, I should let you tell this. It's an iHome. I can walk in the house and say, turn on the stove. I can name my house Leonard. Leonard, I need you to turn on every light in this house. I need somebody in this room who has faith to believe that when you step out in a foggy place with Jesus, he will never lead you astray. My husband and I right now are the owners of a white lime washed, beautiful, amazing brick house that belongs to
you, God. Be God in this room. Be God in this place today. And that'll be more than enough. Blow my mind. Blow my mind. You can do it. Blow my mind. Anybody desire that today? Come on, tell them.
Blow my mind.
Oh God, you can
blow my mind.
You have the ability, God.
So blow my mind.
Oh, do the impossible. Raise that with us.
I have not seen.
Oh,
ears have not heard.
Yeah.
I can imagine what you have in store.
Come on, somebody throw both of those hands up and say, God, you can blow my mind. I need you to let your faith rise as you make that declaration. You can blow my mind. God, we're ready. God, we're ready today for you to blow my mind. Do the impossible. Because you can, God. Come on, from your heart, say blow. Position now, God, you can blow my mind. Oh, do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think today. Oh, you can do the impossible. Listen, I have good news today. I need you to know that God can do anything. Hallelujah. Listen, God can do anything. I need you to find somebody. Just look them in the eye for me and tell them that God can do anything. I don't know what you're believing for today. Oh, but God can do anything. Come on, if you're watching online, I need you to just raise that witness. Every voice, say,
God can do anything.
He's able to do it. You're strong enough, God. You're big enough, God. Is there anything too hard? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I need somebody to let your faith rise in this moment and declare, God can do anything.
You can
do anything abundantly. Above all you can ask or think. He's able to do whatever you need him to do. Just declare that my God is able. He's strong enough. He's big enough.
God can do anything.
Somebody join us. believe that the miracle worker is in this room. And somebody came in here today needing a miracle in your life. Well, I got a testimony this morning. About a year and a half ago, I was ministering on a stage in Virginia. And I was at a school called Liberty University. And the pastor came up to me and he said, Pastor Tasha, three of our students, they went to the mountain to worship. And on the way back down, they got into a car accident. And one of them, she's paralyzed and she's not responding to the doctors. And he said, we're going to pray together. There were 10,000 students from 90 different nations. And we all begin to lift up one God. His name is Jesus. And as we begin to declare that there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, they told me that the student, they were airing that worship service in her hospital bedroom. And as they begin to watch, we started saying, I hear the chains falling. And the more we declared, I hear the chains falling. I hear the chains falling, and they're breaking off of Ruthie's life now. Because God, you are a healer. Her name was Ruthie. The teacher came back to me. He tapped me on the shoulder. He said, I have a text message I need to show you. He said, as we begin to worship today, I got this text message from Ruthie's mom who said, as we begin to declare that the chains were breaking, she began to move her legs. So let me give you some clarity here. The doctors told her mother that her brain activity would never respond and would never recover the way that it had before. The doctors told her mother that it was a strong possibility that she would never walk again. But God can do anything. I'm talking to some people in this room. The enemy has tried to tell you that that situation is impossible for God and he can't touch that, and so you put that thing on the back burner. But I came to declare that God can do. So 2 days ago, I got a DM in my Instagram. It said, hi, my name is Ruthie. She said, a year and a half ago, you came to Liberty University, and I was a student who received a miracle. And she said, I just want to come to Greenville, South Carolina, to hug your neck, because God used you to help save my life. Ruthie, can you come up here for a minute? I declare that Ruthie is walking, that Ruthie is talking, Ruthie has all use and activity of her limbs, because we serve a God who can do anything but fail. Somebody lift up your eyes, God can do anything. I need somebody to raise up a praise. Lift up your voice and declare it. God can do anything. We have a living witness right here in front of us that God is a God who still heals. And we call on Jehovah Rapha in this room. If you needed an example, he calls an example to walk right up in this door for you. I declare that God is healing bodies, that cancer has to shrink, that diabetes has to go, that migraine headaches have to go. By the power that's in the name of Jesus, we speak to liver disease, and we tear man to the leave. We speak to every tumor, every cyst,
my God, God can do anything. Thank you guys for tuning in to World of Gospel Connection for Women's Day Thursday. I thought I'd just switch something up just a little bit for Women's Day Thursday. Know that God loves you and he can do anything once you put trust in him. Remember, it's not easy. Nowhere in the Bible, I say this all the time, God said it's going to be easy. But it did say, have faith the size of a mustard seed. Know that Apostle and I are here if you need us. Call us, or you can inbox us at Worldwide Gospel Connection through the messenger. Know that you're not in this fight by yourself. That iron truly sharpens iron. That to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Know that God is in control. He already wrote your future out. Trust in him. Spend that one-on-one time with him. Remember Romans 10:9 said, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All you got to do is speak it and ask God and tell him that you surrender to him and let him have his way in your life. Some people might fall off, and that's okay, because some people are seasonal, but God is lifetime. Keep pushing through. You're not in this fight by yourself. If you need us, you can message us at World Gospel Connection on Facebook, or you can email us at worldgospelconnection@gmail.com. Bring one another. That's the meaning of iron sharpening iron. There's no judgment zone. I can't judge you, and you can't judge me. God is the only judge. And he would never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there with you in spite of it all. Keep pushing through, woman of God. No matter what you did last night nor this morning, God still loves you. He hung on Calvary just for you and I. Not just for me, not just for you, but for the both of us. Walk into your destiny with your head held high. Put your arm of God on. Stop looking to the left and to the right, and definitely don't look behind you. Look ahead, because you're a king's kid. You're a royal priesthood. You're worthy. Don't let anyone make you feel that you're unworthy. If they don't show you, God will show you. You don't have to worry about what they say to you or what they call you. Just answer to God. If they don't support you, it's okay. If they don't check on you, it's okay. If they don't tell you they love you, it's okay. Know that God loves you. And he's always right there with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Stand on his word. I hope you enjoy it today. If you want to sow, you definitely can at $WGC2020. Again, $WGC2020. Know that we're here. If you need the blessed oil, make sure you inbox us at World Gospel Connection on Facebook and let me know. Give me your address. We can bring it to you or we can mail it to you. Also, Core Gift Gifts is working on some things, but we're still here. If you need the bath bombs, you can text me at 832-816-7997. Remember what Romans 10:9 say. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead, you will be saved. Again, it does not matter what you did last night nor this morning. The Father loves you, and don't you ever forget that. You guys have a blessed and phenomenal day, and talk to you soon.
There's a miracle in this room with my name on it. There's a healing in this room, and it's here for me. Oh, there's a breakthrough.
Call the name of So I'm gonna put a praise on.
So I'm gonna put a prophetic. Open up your mouth and shout. 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 Hold on. This is the truth. I was ministering somewhere one night. Bishop. And y'all know I got a pretty praise. I've been in church all my life. I can control it. And the weight of glory fell so heavy on me, I started doing what we call a Baptist sit. But wait a minute. Before I can think about it, the Lord said you just gave me a Christmas praise. I said, what in the world is that? He said, you know on Christmas, the parents pile all of the gifts under the tree. And you open them and you're like, oh, thank you, mama. Oh, thank you, mama. And then after all the gifts gone, they say, go out the door. And it's something out there major with a big red bow on it. And you forget about thank you, mama. And you just go, ah! I want somebody to give God a Christmas praise. What's outside is bigger than that.